So we're starting a new series. Oh, that's too bad in that. We're starting a new series. I've entitled it Some of My Favorites. Some of My Favorites. And what I want to do is I want to share with you some of my favorite passages in the Bible. And they're not in order. This isn't my favorite, but this is amongst my favorites. If you can open up your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. If you don't know where that is, it's towards the back of your Bible. James chapter 4. We're going to be talking, I'm going to be talking in the next several weeks in some of my favorite verses in the Bible. How many have some favorites? Come on, how many have some favorites? What's your, somebody help me out. What's your favorite food? What's your favorite food? Brian, what's your favorite food? Lasagna. Ah, I heard Pastor Joel's favorite food is tacos. What's your favorite food? What's your favorite food? What? Shrimp tacos. Oh, my goodness. We had some fish tacos the other day for lunch. They were so delicioso. Who got a favorite food? Jason, what's your favorite food? Come on. What? Enchiladas. Enchiladas. What's your favorite food, Angel? Noodle noodles. Oh, just noodles. I thought like Udon noodle was a special noodle. Mudon? Udon. Udon. Udat. In the back. Chili Rellenos. Ah, yes. Peanut butter and jelly? Oh, pizza. Okay. That was Tyler's favorite food for a while, huh, Tamara? What? Sushi. Oh, God help us. Hey, but you know what? To each his own. I love the variety that we have in this church. I saw what? Hollenback burrito. Come on, somebody. Yes. Chili relleno. Lobster? Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Tamales. Ooh. I don't know. Somebody made us some tamales. It's like, you know, you ever found like a $20 bill in your pocket? You're like all happy. You know what I mean? You're like, ah. You get a jacket on or something you're not used to. You're like, ah, look. You act like you're a millionaire. You found a $20 bill. You know what I mean? It's like, ah. So I opened up the fridge the other day, and I don't know, we put tamales in there like 4 years ago or something. I was all like, ah, tamales. Anyway, we had them last night. They were delicious. Very good. What about candy bars? What's your favorite candy? Tony, what's your favorite candy bar? What? Mr. Good Bar. Oh, yeah. What's your favorite candy bar? Anything with peanut butter. Oh, so you're like a Reese's. Good. What else? What's your favorite peanut butter? Or what your favorite? What? Three Musketeers. Come on. Almond Joy. Payday. All right. Well, I want to share with you some of my favorites. One of my favorite scriptures is in James chapter 4. When Tim and I first came here, something that just came really out of our spirit that is really a theme of this church, something that we say over and over and over again. We say good choice is good life. Bad choice is bad life. And let me tell you why I believe that just from the heart the mouth speaks, why that came out as something that we would repeat over and over and over again. Because we live in a world that has emphasized a victimization of people. And I'm not saying that people have been taken advantage of. I'm not saying that we don't have opportunities to overcome. I don't mean to belittle or make light of any of the injustices that have been done to you or others. But I do believe what Joyce Meyer says, that either you need to decide that you're going to become a victim or a victor. And one of the reasons why I love quoting Joyce Meyer in this is because of her story. She was, you talk about victimization, and she can stand up there and talk about it because she was abused sexually as a young girl by her father repeatedly, over and over and over again. And not only that, and I say that because she says it publicly, but not only that, but she was double victimized as her mother would not defend her, but she would just continue to look the other way as, you know what, her dad was. And she stands there before thousands and says, you've got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision. And that's one of the reasons why this verse is so jugular in my life. Because it speaks to the empowerment. You see, when you decide that you are going to become a... you are not going to allow God's word to encourage you that you are going to become a victim and you are going to stay a victim. Somebody say, stay a victim. Then you empower a force that is really demonic. It's really demonic. And one of the most powerful verses I find in the Bible is this verse. Because when I read it, and I'll show it to you in a minute, it shows how much power we have to draw close to God. How much power we have to resist Satan. How much power we have in the realm that we live in. How many know we don't live in heaven? How many know we don't live in heaven? And yet, the Bible says in Romans that God has poured out his love. The Bible says that hope doesn't disappoint because God has poured out his love in our hearts. We have great opportunity today to say that our days in front of us are better than our days behind us. And it doesn't mean that we don't have great opportunities to be sad and to be fearful and to be, we have those opportunities. But if the love of God is poured out in your hearts, if the Bible says that greater is he that is inside of us than he that's in the world. If the Bible says with God all things are possible. If the Bible says that he hasn't even withheld anything from us, even our own son. If Jesus said, it's good that I go, for when I go, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. If we have all this reality, we've got to come and recognize, oh my goodness, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. If I have been given the opportunity, how many put on the full armor of God this morning? Are you kidding me? You have the full armor of God on. We have great opportunity this morning. Open up your Bibles to James chapter 4. And I want to read, I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. But then I'm going to just go over systematically what it's saying here. James chapter 4. I'm reading on New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. But you can read for us word for word up on the screen if you'd like to. Look at James chapter 4, starting with verse 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I've got, how many points do I got? I have 2 points and 3 subpoints. But how many know we might not get to all 3 subpoints? And that's okay. My first point I want to make is God has given us an opportunity to humble out. God has given us an opportunity to be humble. We can, the Bible says, submit to God. Now, all lies up here. Let me teach you something. Never, ever, 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 ever in the Bible does God tell you to do something that you can't do. If you see a command in the Bible to do something, then automatically you need to understand that you have the power to do what he's telling you to do. If you didn't, what kind of God is going to tell you what to do and then not empower you to do it? Amen. What is that? So when we read in the Bible that the Bible says in verse 7, therefore submit to God. Therefore submit to God. Therefore submit to God. Submit, sub, means you're putting your will under God's will. And the Bible is telling us, therefore submit to God. I want you to understand that I want you to walk away today understanding, with the clear understanding that you have way more power than you think you have. Some of you have allowed Satan to whoop your butt, you know what, to terrorize your marriage, to convince you that you can't do this and you can't do that. And I want you to walk away understanding. Satan's biggest power is convincing you that you can't do it. I preached a wonderful sermon one time called that Satan's power was just influential power. If Satan really had power, he'd kill you 30 seconds before you got saved. He would, but he doesn't have power. The only power he has is to try to convince you. That's what he does. So you get saved and you're walking to your car after you accepted Jesus in your heart, or you're at camp, you're coming down from camp, you accepted Jesus, Jesus is in your heart. The Bible says, anyone who knocks, the door will be open. And you knocked, you asked Jesus to come into your heart. He came into your heart. That is real, that is real, that's real. And the only thing Satan can do is try to convince you that was just some motivational speaker. He just did that's all just a bunch of junk. Jesus isn't really saved you. Amen? How many remember when you first started speaking in tongues? How many raise your hand if you remember when you first started speaking? I never forget when I first started speaking in tongues. You know what? But I talked to so many people. You know what? We teach Academy of Righteousness. In Academy of Righteousness, I spend 4 weeks just going through the scripture, because most people don't even understand that God has so many, I'm going to preach on it in a little bit, that God has so many gifts that he's given to us by the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are powerful gifts. It's one of the reasons why Satan has come against the gifts so heavily. And can I preach this to somebody? And I'm just saying, there's so many of the churches that don't talk about these gifts. Paul talked about the gifts all the time. You say, yeah, but what about in Corinthians when he was trying to correct these people? Yeah, but notice how he's trying to correct them. He's not telling them don't do the gifts anymore. He's just saying when you do the gifts, make sure you're walking in love. Amen? And in America, in so many wonderful churches, I don't know, Pastor George, I don't know why they do this. But they take away, you know what, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they take it away by never preaching on them and never talking about them. And we're going to talk about them in this church. Why? Because they need to flow in this church. They need to flow not only in this church, but they need to flow in the daily walk. When I look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, when I look at the ministry of Paul and Peter and others in the Bible, they are so effective. You see Jesus all the time. The Bible says, knowing their thoughts. What is that? That's a supernatural understanding that you and I are called and can step into. But we've got to teach people this reality. Can you say amen to this? Amen. And the reality is, God has given us these wonderful gifts, but in order to step into the abundance that God has for us, we have to submit to God. We have to humble out and we have to submit to God. And I talk to so many people that after we're teaching them, that they can speak in a language that the Bible says is a heavenly language. Jesus said that these signs will follow those who believe. And one of the signs that he said was, they will speak with new tongues. Amen. But when we teach this for 4 weeks and we show them that it is so critical, it is one of the main things that the apostles, when they saw new converts who got saved, they'd go in there and one of the first things they'd say is, hey, when you got born again, did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? But there's been so much either negative or just non-existent talk about these gifts. And so when I'm teaching on it, and then the fourth week, I'll lay my hands on people and I'll say, hey, and if people don't want to receive the gift, then they don't have to receive it. But I'll ask them. And if they want to, you know what? I'll pray over them. And I'll simply say, receive the Holy Spirit. And then moments later, and this happens over and over and over and over and over again, I'll say, start to pray in English. And we'll start to pray in English. Or we'll start to praise in English. And I'll say, I'm gonna snap my fingers and I'm gonna say, now switch. And I don't want you to stop praising. Just stop the English. And over and over and over again, you know what? Words, syllables will come out. And it'll be very, because they're like, oh, this is weird. Well, how many of you have done something for the first time? It is weird. It's unusual. And you know what I'll say to them? I'll get right here and because it'll be so faint. They're like, oh, mama, marata de gisibor. And I'll say, that's it. Why? Because I know Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's a liar, and the only thing he can do is say, oh, that's a bunch of that crazy pastor guy got you all. You know what? He don't got you all. The Holy Spirit grabbed you inside. And now there's a heavenly language that is coming out of your mouth. And the Bible says that, you know what? Paul says, I pray in this. I pray in this all more than y'all do this. Amen. See, Satan has less power than you really think he has. And this verse is so, I'm going to teach you this today. You're going to walk out of this place with a greater understanding, with the authority and the power that God has given you. Number one, everybody say number one. You have a choice. Say, I have a choice to submit to God. Now, you don't have to submit to God. You can do whatever you want to do, but you have the power to submit to God if you want to. Pastor, why do you submit to God? Here's why I submit to God. Because I've come to the realization after 42 years that... Y'all didn't catch that one, but I'll move on. I've come to the realization in my life that God is smarter than me. How many recognize God is smarter than you? How many raise your hand if you think that God is smarter than you? Come on, keep your hand raised up. Okay, if God is smarter than you, then wouldn't it be smart to do what he tells us to do? That's why I submit to him, because I recognize how smart he is. And if he's smarter than me, then what I should do is submit to what he wants me to do. Does this make sense? Isaiah chapter 55, look at it. We'll have it up here on the screens. Starting with verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. How many have been saved enough to recognize God's thoughts aren't our thoughts? Come on, how many would confess that? How many think some crazy things sometimes? And you think them and you know they're not godly. See, God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. We have a tendency. We can be selfish. We can be crazy. How many ever said something that you wish you wouldn't have said? How many ever said it and you're like, who said that? Right? Southwest has a commercial. What's their commercial say? You guys don't know this commercial? Somebody says something stupid and they say something like, man, what? Oh, want to get away? How many ever want to get away? How many ever said something you're like, oh, I can't believe I said that. Why did you say that? Because your thoughts are crazy. How many of you ever said something and you were embarrassed that you said it? Why did you say it? Would have God said it? He wouldn't say it. You know why? Because his thoughts aren't your thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. Watch this. Next verse. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is so much smarter than us. I'll give you one good reason to submit to God, because he is so much smarter than you. And when you submit to him, you start to walk in his intelligence. Right? You start to walk in his wisdom. You start to, things that you did wrong before, things that you, places that you went before, things that you said before, substances that you smoked before, right? No. And why did you do that? Because you were influenced by your friends, and what are your friends? Your friends are the same way. They don't know that much. But then you started to get influenced by God, and you recognize what the Bible says: don't get drunk with wine. Amen. No. There's something better than wine. It's called the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen to me? There's something better than wine. It's called the Holy Spirit. And you start to recognize, oh my goodness, I don't have to do this. I can do this other thing. And it became a thought that was higher. And when you started thinking different, then what did you start doing? You started acting different. When you started thinking different, you started acting different. See, it wasn't till, you know what, your fifth breakup with the same guy, but he had a different name, that you finally came to the recognition that maybe the best guys you ain't gonna find in the honky-tonk. Hello, somebody. How many know if you're looking for a man of character? How many know if you're not looking for a bowler, you might not go to the bowling alley? Amen? But you didn't know that right away. But you started thinking different. And when you started thinking different, you started what? You started acting different. And when you start to think on a higher plane, and when you start to think like God thinks, you step into this whole realm of, man, how many of you, I'm just asking, how many of you has your life been better since you started coming to Hope at Church at Hope? Okay, not that hope is the reason, but at Hope we preach the uncompromised word of God, and you start listening and it starts changing how you think. And when you change how you think, you start changing how you act. And when you change how you act, all of a sudden you are in this better place in the world. Amen? Amen. Maybe still not perfect. How many aren't perfect yet, but you're better than you were a year ago? Amen. Why? Not because, here's why, because really, you just got smarter. You started thinking the way God thinks. Listen to me. Every single one of you, listen to me. You have the power to submit to God if you want to submit to God. God never tells you to do something that he doesn't empower you with the power to do it. Now, you don't have to submit, but you can submit. Amen? How many want good relationships in your life? Maybe you're married already and you want that to flourish like it used to flourishing. Or maybe you're not married, maybe you're single and you want to meet the right guy or the right gal. How many of you want good relationships in your life? Raise your hand if that's you. Well, let me tell you what, to have that, you've got to follow. How many know nobody knows about good relationships like God knows about good relationships? How many want some better things going on in your finances? I won't ask you, but some people, they can't even rub two nickels together. You ever heard that saying? They're like, man, I'm always busted, man. I'm always broke. I never got nothing. And you know what? And wait a minute. Whoa. I can't even pay my bills. That's not the will of God in your life. But how many know to walk in the blessings financially that God has for you, how many know you need to do what he tells you to do financially? Amen? Have you ever gone to your hairstylist and after you get done, you know what, you're like, you walk away from that, you know, from that salon and you're like, man, I'm looking good today. Come on, ladies. You know, some of you gentlemen, you can say amen on this too. You're like, man, I'm looking good. Amen? But then the next day, you're trying to do your hair. You don't look good. Come on, somebody. Why? Because you're not doing it the way she did it. See, in order to walk in the blessings of God, you've got to do it whatever area it is. You want to raise your kids good? You better find out what the Bible tells you how to raise your kids. Amen? Amen? You want to live in peace? There's all kinds of promises in the Word and things that God has called us to do that we've got to do. But we've got to understand this, that every single one of us can submit to God or not submit to God. But at least we walk away today knowing. God is speaking a truth to you today. Maybe you're in your mess because you made some bad choices. Maybe God told you what to do and you said, no, I don't want to do that. Well, at least understand that that was your choice, that every single one of us, I'm trying to get this point across. Here's the main thing I want you to see. Every single one of us, if you want to submit to God, you can submit to God. And I'll tell you the blessings. And if you do, you will be in a whole different place than you are possibly right now. Number one, you could submit to God if you want to. What are we doing? We're empowering you today. You don't have to. Pastor, I don't understand. Here, understand this. Good choices, good life. And you can make good choices. And one of the best choices you will ever make is to submit to God. And let me tell you why. Because his ways are higher than your ways. Amen? Remember when you were a kid? This is one of the favorite things. I love when my dad would do this. And I'd put my feet on his feet. And he'd walk. And now he's walking, and I'm walking with him. Amen? And he could take a big step that I could never take. But guess what? Because I'm with him, I can take that step now. That's the character of God. That's what he wants you to do. But he can't get you to do that unless you will submit to his will and his thoughts. Number one, every single one of us can do it. Number two, say number two. Understand this. Number two, let's go, hey, Georgie in the back, let's go A. Go to A. A. To make a choice to humble out, you've got to submit to God. You can submit to God. Every single one of us can submit to God. Number two, you have control over Satan. B, go B, Georgie. You control over Satan. You missed have. You have control over Satan. Now, before some of you want to debate, you don't have. Who are you saying? You got control over Satan. You don't got control over Satan. All right, just keep on looking in your Bible. And let me show you how much control you have over Satan. Therefore, submit to God. Resist, verse 7, resist the devil. And he will what? Resist the devil and he will what? How many believe the word of God? If you resist the devil, he will flee. If you resist the devil, he will flee. If you will resist the devil, he will flee. Tell me who's got control. Who do you have control over? According to the word, you have control over Satan. Because if you resist him, he must flee. He will flee. I believe the Bible. I believe it's impossible for God to lie. I believe that some of the reason why Satan lingers around us so much is because there's not a lot of resisting going on. Amen. I love that scene in Fireproof. He sees something pop up on his computer. He takes the computer, takes it outside, and he starts smashing it. Remember this? And his neighbor looks at him like, you are a nut. How many know sometimes sometimes resisting Satan is going to take a deliberate act of you making a decision in your life? You heard about the guy who love these chocolate eclairs at this bakery. And he seemed to be gaining weight a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And he finally said, you know what? He made a decision. I'm not going to go by and eat those chocolate eclairs anymore. One day he was driving and he thought, well, I haven't eaten them for a while. And I don't know what God's will really is. He said, you know what? If it's God's will for me to eat some chocolate eclairs today, He's going to provide a parking space right in front of the bakery. Amen. Right in front of the bakery. He came to work and he had some chocolate eclairs all around his mouth. And his friend said, "Hey, I thought you weren't going to eat chocolate eclairs anymore." He said, "Well, I hadn't for a long time, but I prayed this morning. I said, if it's God's will that I eat chocolate eclairs, God is going to provide me a space." And he said, sure enough, after 32 times circling the block, God opened it up right there. See, how many know sometimes it's not that the evil one is overtaking us, it's that we have allowed him to overtake us. Because the Bible says that if we will resist Satan, he will flee. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I think it is? It says this. It says that there's no temptation given to you that with that temptation, how many ever been tempted? Come on, how many of you have been tempted? I'm just asking, how many of you have ever been tempted and you fell to that temptation? I'm not asking what it was. I'm just asking you to be honest. How many have fell to that temptation? Well, let me tell you what, and for all of us, we should have our hands raised, because all of us have done that. But when that happens, let me empower you. Let me empower you today. When that happens, according to the Word of God, it happens because the way of escape was there, but you didn't get off the off-ramp. Amen? It was there, but you didn't get off on the off-ramp. You've got to make a decision. You've got to reckon. You've got to come to. It's one of the reasons why this passage is so great, because it tells us that we can have control in our life. Satan, the demonic force, doesn't have to rule our life. It doesn't have to reign in our life. It doesn't have to happen. If we will simply resist Satan, he will flee from us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read this to you, and I believe you'll see it perhaps in a way you've never seen it before. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Very familiar series of verses. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Let who lay aside every weight? So you see the responsibility here? You see who God is saying, who is the onus on? It's on us to lay it aside. And if God says, lay it aside, there's nothing that God asks you to do that you don't have the power to do it. Nothing in the Word of God. God never asks you to do something and says, "Oh, I'm just tricking you. You don't really have the power to lay it aside. I'm just saying you." No, you do. You do. If you've been or are addicted to pornography, you know what? You can get away of that today. You can be free of that today. I'm not saying it won't take some effort, but I'm saying if you want to lay this aside, and notice the Bible says these weights and sins. "Therefore, we also are surrounded by such a greater cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares you." Listen, man. Listen to me. Listen to me, man. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who I'm talking to. You know what that means? That means I don't know who you are. Somebody say, this is a safe space. I don't know who you are, but I'm telling you, this will ensnare you. You say, "No, Pastor, when I get married, it's going to be way better because, you know what, I know I have this problem right now, but when I get married, it's going to be awesome because then I'm going to have all the sex that I want with my wife, and I'm going to be free from this." Listen, if you're addicted to pornography before you get married, you're going to be addicted to pornography after you get married. Amen. And I'm telling you today, you can be free of this. And I'm telling you, listen, get, if you're single, get free of it now, because that will ensnare your marriage. It will be cancerous to your marriage. It will affect your marriage. You know, nobody gets married and is like, oh, you know what? Well, actually, some people do, but most people don't. Most people don't. They don't get married thinking, I tell you, I'm going to get married, and you know what? In about 8 years, I'm going to get divorced. People don't think that way, and they shouldn't think that way. But you've got to make good choices to have a what? Good life. And these weights and sins, they're ensnaring you. If you have an anger problem, get it together. And get it together today. And some of that is just resisting Satan, recognizing you do not have to just blow up if you don't want to blow up. Recognizing that is a choice. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's a choice you make. Here, I love this example. You know what? You're like freaked out. You're spazzing out. Amen? Anybody been around somebody who spazzes out in the house? I didn't say you're sitting next to them. I said, and you're spazzing out, and then the phone rings. You're like, hello? What is that? What is that? You know what that is? That tells you you're in total control of what you're doing. Amen. Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. Watch this. Looking unto Jesus. What are we talking about? We're talking about submitting to God, to resisting Satan. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before you endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Here's a clue. You've got to consider Jesus. For consider him, consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. If you start thinking, who is your example? Jesus. How many, Jesus was a bad dude. I don't know if that's theologically correct, but you get the point. I'm telling you what. He made a decision that he was going to walk in the will of God, and even in the midst of people saying, Peter, one of them, you don't have to go to the cross. He said, I tell you what, I understand what that is. That's demonic, and I'm not going to do it. If God tells me to go to the cross, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be in the will of God. He resisted Satan. And when resisted Satan, Satan had to flee. And you are no different. The difference is, according to this verse, that sometimes you just let your way out by saying, my marriage is so hard. Really? I'm not saying that there's not challenges. I'm saying you're forgetting who you need to look at. You need to look at Jesus and consider. I'm telling you what, your marriage might be difficult, but it ain't not jack diddly nothing compared to what he did. And let me tell you what, if you're married, your calling is to stay married. If you're on number one is for you. If you're on number two, you know what? She's for you. If you're on number three, just stop and let it be. And if you're on number four, say, he's my man, and that's no more.
Pastor, what's five? I'm going to tell you what five is. That's my point, guys. Understand, there's difficulty in life. And God is speaking to the church and saying, man, you got to toughen up because I've called you to do some things that are difficult. So stop giving yourself excuse, but recognize, okay, it is what it is. I told somebody the other day, I thought this was so good. I told somebody the other day as we were discussing a decision that they were making and the difficulty it was. I'm not saying, listen to me, I'm not saying that these choices aren't difficult. But I said this, I said, listen, once you understand the will of God, it might be difficult, but put it in perspective. There's something more difficult than what God is asking you to do. There's something more difficult than obedience. You know what's more difficult than obedience? Disobedience. Disobedience. Are you learning something today? Mm-mm-mm. Worship team, come on up. We'll finish the rest of this next week. Amen. No. How many want me to finish this? How many want me to finish this? How many want to finish this? Okay. I will. You come back next week and you'll get the rest. I'm coming back next week. Next week I'll talk about, you know what? Here. Listen. Next week, you know what I want to teach you? I'm going to show you, not only can you resist Satan, you have so much power to resist the devil, but you know what you have power to? Listen to me. I don't mean this in any disrespect, but you have the power to summons God to be close to you. I'm telling you what, the days of I can't control my life, it's one of the reasons why this verse is one of the most powerful verses. It's one of my favorite verses because God showed me. We live so many people here. Don't pay attention to them. Pay attention to me. We have so many people in our land and they've been lied to. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He roams the earth seeking whom he may devour. There are so many people that could walk in the blessings of God and they're never walking in those blessings. And it has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with they don't understand how much power they had. The Israelites had the power to walk in the land flowing with milk and honey, and they died in the desert. Why? Because they had the opportunity when Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, "We can do this." Every single one of them had the opportunity to say, "You know what? We can do this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is inside of us than he that's in the world." They had the power to come in agreement. They had the testimony of their brothers that went into the promised land and said, yes, those enemies are big, but our God is bigger. I want to show you next week that you have the ability to summons God. And if you'll just make some right choices, God will be right there wherever you're at.